In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at a place, no matter what the place is, where something is happening, okay? Something, God's showing up. People are getting changed. Things are happening. I don't know where these places are, you know. You can call these places shrines. You can call these places IHOP. You know, where things are happening. Now, I just want you to know that things just don't happen. God usually just doesn't show up. What happens is this. Where you find things happening, you will find the cross. Because you see, the center of Christianity is the crucified Jesus. And where you find things happening, you will find a sacrifice. People who sacrifice their lives in union with Jesus. Things happen sacrificially. They just don't happen. They just don't happen. Oh yes, conversion can just happen because God comes out of the blue, and that's beautiful. But when things happen on a basis that people are getting changed, you have to know it's more than just things happening. You have in the background people who are the sacrifice in union with Jesus, who give their lives so that these things will happen. I'll give you an instance, okay? Now, thousands of people have been changed and gone to Medjugorje, okay? That's real. I don't take much stock in the visionaries personally, but it is a holy place. It's holy because it's made holy by the people's prayers and their expectation. But you see, if the priests weren't there that offered their services all day and all night, that wouldn't happen. It would all die out. So therefore, there has to be sacrificial experiences that allow these things to happen, because the center of our faith is Jesus crucified. Things just don't happen. They don't just happen. You know, you talk about revival. Well, if revival is going to happen, that means the people that are in the midst of revival, they aren't living for themselves anymore. They are sacrificing their life for the people that are getting changed. They have to change their schedule. They have to do things that they're uncomfortable doing. They have to give up their life. So things just don't happen on a big scale unless there is the sacrificial offering. St. Paul said this. He says, "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, like a libation, you know, on the sacrificial altar of your faith." What's he saying? You know, your faith didn't just happen. It's happening also because I have poured out my life upon the sacrificial altar. I have given myself to him so that you might be enriched. You see, it's not only what Jesus has done, it's what his people do. Like, who will pay the price? And that's the issue. The price is dear, and not many want to pay the price. Oh yes, everybody likes a little touch from God, but paying the price is another issue. I'm reading from The Martyrdom of Perpetua and Felicity. Please listen. The day of the martyrs' victory dawned. They marched from their cells into the amphitheater, as if into heaven, in cheerful looks and graceful bearing. If they trembled, it was for joy, and not for fear. Perpetua was the first to be thrown down, and she fell prostrate. She got up, and seeing that Felicity was prostrate, went over and reached out her hand to her and lifted her up. Both stood up together. The hostility of the crowd was appeased. They were ordered to the gate called Santa Viviera. There, Perpetua was welcomed by the catechumen named Rusticus. Rousing herself as if from sleep, so deeply had she been in spiritual ecstasy, she began to look around. To everyone's amazement, she said, "When are we going to be led to the beast?" When she heard that it had already happened, she did not at first believe it until she saw the marks of violence in her body and on her clothing. Then she beckoned to her brother and the catechumen and addressed them in these words, "Stand firm in faith. Love one another. Do not be tempted to do anything wrong because of our suffering." Satyrus, too, in another gate, encouraged the soldier, saying, "Here I am, and just as I thought and foretold, I have not yet felt any wild beast. Now believe with your whole heart, I will go there and be killed by the leopard in one bite." And right at the end of the games, when he was thrown to the leopard, he was in fact covered with so much blood that one bite that the people cried out to him, "Washed and saved, washed and saved." And so giving evidence of a second baptism, he was clearly saved who had been washed in this manner. Then Satyrus said to the soldier, "Pudens, farewell and remember your fate as well as me. Do not let these things frighten you. Let them rather strengthen you." At the same time, he asked for the little ring from Prudence's finger. After soaking it in his wound, he returned it to Prudence for a keepsake, leaving him a pledge and a remembrance of his blood. Half dead, he was thrown along with the others into the usual place of slaughter. The people, however, had demanded that the martyrs be led to the middle of the amphitheater. They wanted to see the sword thrust into the bodies of the victims so that their eyes might share in the slaughter. Without being asked, they went where the people wanted them to go, but they first kissed one another to complete their witness with the customary kiss of peace. The others stood motionless and received the death blow in silence, especially Satyrus, who had gone up first and was the first to die. He was helping Perpetua, but Perpetua, that she might experience the pain more deeply, rejoiced over her broken body and guided the shaking hand of the inexperienced gladiator to her throat. Such a woman, one before whom the unclean spirit trembled, could not perhaps have been killed had she herself not willed it. Bravest and happiest martyrs, you were called and chosen for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you see, this is the essence of our Christian faith. People who have given their life for Jesus. You see, after the martyrdom of Perpetua and Felicity, and the martyrdom of Satyrus and the martyrs of Rome, the faith began to multiply. People started to take notice of this Christian experience that people would give their life for this person who they said had been raised from the dead. Things began to happen. You see, there was no compromise. It was all or nothing. We would have no faith today if we did not have martyrdom. When something happens, there must be a sacrifice. Right now, In the West, there is no persecution, believe me. We do not know what persecution is at this point, right now. But in many areas of the world, there are many people who are undergoing the ultimate sacrifice of giving their life for Jesus. Many, many people. More than in the early church. In Nigeria, it's like almost every month, more and more people are killed. In the Muslim countries, people are killed, detained, put in prison. In China, these things still happen. Priests have been stockpiled for years and years and years. And we in the West glibly think that we're something. When our brothers and sisters are offering their lives for Him who gave His life for them and us, we do not even remember these poor people. And the reason is, they are poor. Who would want to remember poor people? But though they are poor, they are rich. Because they have found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. Will we ever experience that in the West? Only time will tell, and only God knows. But I also need to say to you, unless God does something awesome in the church, if we were ever put under the thumbs of persecution, we will not survive. I'm talking about the church now. The church that will not undergo any persecution. Because we've been so pampered. All of us. That's why God must do something. He must do something by His Spirit. He must, for if He is getting us ready for persecution, we will not be able to endure it unless the Spirit of God is so very available. We will not. You see, the thing is that we have everything. And compromise is the name of the game. I remember the Archbishop saying, when he was selling the property of his beautiful home and most of the seminary to Boston College, the words he spoke I will never forget. We are selling these things to our friends. Well, I said then, and I say now, Boston College is no friend of mine. It is no friend of mine. It is a place of heresy. It is a place where you find the Christus. She was in Peterson Hall. You know what the Christus is? It is the image of Jesus as a woman crucified. Yes, Boston College. I don't know where she is now because they're renovating Peterson Hall now. It was called Peterson Hall. It was the seminary. So you see, they're no friends of mine. They might be friends of the Archbishop, but they're not friends of mine. They have Planned Parenthood coming to Boston College. Now, I'm not saying some good things don't happen there. That's not what I'm saying. Oh, there are good teachers. There are good professors. There are good teachers and there are good professors. But there's also a lot of craziness that goes on there that has nothing to do with the faith of Jesus Christ and the faith of the apostles. So, you see, if we compromise to the point of calling Boston College our friends, I want to tell you, I'm sure he said that glibly. He didn't really think. He couldn't really have thought about that. I think that just was an off-the-cuff statement. I have to believe that. I'm not a friend of the devil, okay? He's not my friend. Devil's not my friend. And when you say a college that turns out stuff that that's obscene, literally. They're friends of the devil and not friends of mine. Doesn't mean they can't be converted. Oh, no. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means right now. They are not Catholic and they're not Christian for the most part. Though there are good teachers there. And if you're going there, you need to find the good teachers, the good professors. You see, we are so compromised. The last people I would have sold the seminary to would have been Boston College. If you remember the rector of St. John's Seminary several years ago, he was a Dominican. When he left, he wrote a letter to Boston Globe because one of the buildings that was St. Clement's Hall was going to be occupied by Episcopal Theological Seminary, who are pro-gay. And he wrote it, and he was disgusted. Imagine, he said, to have a pro-gay institution on the old seminary grounds. Now let's add persecution into this mix. Who will be persecuted? The people who came for ashes yesterday and didn't know what they were there for? I don't think so. Who will be persecuted? The old people? That maybe if they say, if you follow the Lord, no social security checks? I don't think so. Who will be persecuted? We remember Abraham bartering with God. If you find 100 people, you won't. Will you spare it? If you find 50, would you spare it? If you find 10, would you spare it? You know what I'm saying? Who will be persecuted? We have not raised our children to be persecuted. We have not raised our children to live the faith. We have not raised our children that they might be martyrs like Perpetua and Felicity and Rusticus. We have not raised that. We have not even thought of those things. They've been completely out of our mind. Because we're the United States and we're great and only good things happen. But remember the prophecy of our Blessed Mother in Fatima, that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, and by cracky, little did we know that those errors of socialism and communism would be spread in the United States through the administration that we have now and other administrations in the past. Isn't that interesting? That Russia would spread her lies throughout the world. Oh, we thought that would be Europe. It could never be the United States of America. You see, every generation must realize that if something is going to happen, there needs to be a sacrifice. Sometimes the sacrifice is bloody, and sometimes the sacrifice is the life. But nothing happens without a sacrifice in union with the cross. Nothing. Nothing. And yet we have not been taught even to sacrifice. I told you yesterday of the J-Hop kids, how for 40 days and 40 nights they fasted, worshiping God 24 hours a day, fasting and praying, 40 days of Lent from Ash Wednesday until Palm Sunday. I told you yesterday how I was inspired by these guys. And after Easter, we began a 40-day fast. I don't see any of that in the Catholic Church, where the fullness of faith is. I don't see any of that. Lighting the fire of sacrifice. Feeling hungry. denying ourselves. The gospel reading was today that we had to deny ourselves. Listen, I'm Father Tom. What should I deny myself of anything? I never got married. I have things coming to me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny? It's not even in our vocabulary. I talk personally, okay? I talk personally. Deny yourself? I don't think so. What is going to happen if we are forced to deny ourselves? How would we deal with it if we don't know how to feel hunger? How would we deal with it if we don't know how to fast and to pray? I don't think we will be able to. Again, the jump is too big. As I said, how can anyone die for Jesus Christ and they will not go to Planned Parenthood? I won't tell you. The jump is too big. How can you die for Jesus Christ when you won't stand in front of a butcher center praying? You can't. The jump is too big. The jump is too big. You see, if you cannot do the little thing, how can you do the ultimate thing? This is just common sense. I'm not talking big things. I'm talking common sense. I'm talking reality. I'm talking, you know, if we don't know how to deny ourselves in little things, how will we ever be able to give the supreme sacrifice? It's impossible. Of course, the grace of God will be needed, as the grace of God is needed to deny oneself. And this is Lent. And we're called to deny ourselves. How many Lents have I messed up? You know what I'm saying? I couldn't count them. Sacrificial. And you know, those words are not even used anymore. Sacrificial. Sacrifice. Oblation. They're not even used. They happen to be the center of our faith. It is the sacrifice of Jesus. It is the cross of Jesus. It is the agony and suffering of our Savior. It is the blood of the Lamb that has brought us salvation. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the sacrifice for our sins, St. John says. But not only for our sins, but for the sins of the world. But as we see after Pentecost, as we see the apostles going to the ends of the earth to preach, we see that they shed their blood in union with Jesus. And that's why we have Christianity today. Because men and women, boys and girls, shed their blood in union with Jesus. We are on a precipice in the United States that we have never been on since the first Depression. We are still living in denial, and God wants to wake us up. Lent would be a very good time to hear the words of the Song of Solomon. Arise, my beloved, arise, for the winter is over, and the turtle doves are singing, and it's time for flowers and making love. Arise, get up, wake up out of your sleep. It's time. hunger, praise God. Praise God for the hunger. You know why? Because our tummies have always been full. Yours and mine. Lent is the time to seek the face of the living God. So, you might not have next Lent, and neither might I have it. So let's use it. I fumbled up so many Lents in my past. Let's, by grace, walk again with Him. And walk as sacrificial people. At 2:30, we'll be praising the Lord in the house today at the Holy Rosary Rectory. And you're welcome to come if you'd like to come. 2:30, just to praise the Lord and to be part of an army of praise that have God moved by His Spirit. You're welcome to come at the Holy Rosary, 993 Shirley Street. Today is the day after Ash Wednesday. I call it Ash Thursday. Hope you have a good day today. And maybe you might want to go and read the 19th chapter of St. John today. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.